So today, I think we would all agree that as we walk our Christian life, we expect to walk in victory, right? We expect that that's our Christian life, and we want to walk in victory, and each one of us should walk in victory. But listen to this statement: if the challenge is less than what we are already able to do, then the victory really is nothing more than what we can already accomplish. If the challenge is less than what we are already able to do, then the victory really is nothing more than what we can already accomplish. Let me explain it this way, in an exaggerated sense. If you came and said, "Scott, I know you've been pressing 500 pounds over your head each day, but we want to see you press 550 pounds over your head." Now, that would be a challenge. And if I did that, that would be a victory. It would be a huge victory. But that would be a victory because I could not do that. On the other hand, if you came to me and said, "Scott, here's a 5-pound weight. We challenge you to lift that 5-pound weight over your head." And I did. I mean, I beat the challenge. But really, have I won a victory? I haven't done any more than what I can already accomplish, right? I could do that before. Yet, this is the way that most of us hope to live our lives. Not without challenges. We believe we need challenges in our lives to stretch us, but we think, and we would rather have, for the most part, challenges whose stature, as it were, is not greater than our own. That we can just manage and be assured of victory. To really see victory is to defeat or overcome a challenge which is something we have not been able to accomplish before. It's like defeating a giant in our lives. If someone told you you're going to come up against a giant over the next few days, what picture does it bring to your mind? Maybe it brings to your mind the friendly giant and his friends, Rusty the chicken and Jerome the giraffe. Maybe you get that picture of them all in the big castle together. Or, on the other hand, maybe the image you get of a giant is Jack in the Beanstalk. The giant chasing Jack and saying, "Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman." But maybe that's the picture we get of an angry giant who wants to destroy us. These are all imaginary giants, and they pose no real threat to us. Yet if we were really to think about a giant in our lives, we would think probably of one that is very big and scary, which is trying to destroy us, one which challenges us beyond our physical, emotional, and spiritual limits. And we all have them. They may differ from person to person, but we all have giants in our lives, and they're real. God desires us to live victorious and defeat these giants. Now, we, on the other hand, desire to face challenges which we know we can accomplish, right? That's what I said earlier. And we're really not interested in facing our giants. We just want to sort of push them off to the side and let somebody else take care of them. Maybe somebody can take care of those giants for us. That's not God's plan. Listen to God's plan for victory. This is the victory he laid out for the Israelites. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, "Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan, to go in and dispose the nations greater and stronger than you with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them, and you've heard it said, who can stand against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them, he will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly, as the Lord has promised you." The Lord doesn't pull any punches here. He doesn't sugarcoat the thing. He doesn't say, "Oh, you know what? Life's going to be real easy, Israelites. You're just going to go in and take the land." The Israelites are to cross the Jordan. They are to take the land. They are to drive out the inhabitants of the land. That's a big enough challenge as it is, you know. You go across the Jordan, there's seven nations there, and you're to drive them all out. You know, they're nations. They are greater and stronger than you. Well, thanks, God. That's what I need to hear. That the nations, the giants, are stronger and bigger, greater than us. And they live in cities, large cities. There's lots of them. And their walls aren't just 8 feet or 10 feet tall. Their walls go up to the sky. They're so huge, you can build ramparts against them, but it'll take you a long time. How are you going to manage? And the people that live in those large cities with those large walls, well, they're strong and tall. I guess that's why they got large walls, because they're tall. But they're strong and tall. In fact, they're the Anakites. The Anakites. I've heard that name somewhere before. The Anakites. Well, you have heard it, Israel. You've heard all the nations say that who can drive out the Anakites? Who can stand before them? They demolish and destroy everything. And I'm sure the Israelites at that point in time, of hearing that wonderful description of what they're supposed to do, went back and started thinking about the stories they heard about 40 years prior. And that their parents had told them, and throughout the years as they wandered in the desert. Remember, the 12 spies went into the land, and 10 brought back a bad report and said, "The Anakites live in there, and they are like giants. And we look like grasshoppers." Oh, yeah, God, and these are the same people, and we were paralyzed with fear back then. We didn't go in then, and you're telling us we should go in now? After describing the giants the Israelites were to face, the word we read was that they would have victory. They would have victory that day and the days to come. We face giants in our daily lives. And for the most part, they probably aren't large, strong people. The giants we face are called fear, loneliness, anger, temptation, discouragement, doubt, cancer, any other physical ailment you can think of. There's a huge number of giants that we can face. And like I said, they're not the same to everyone. But everyone faces giants. Those giants come when we can't pay the bills, or we're being mistreated by someone, or life is just the pits and it just doesn't seem to line up and nothing seems to work, or when temptation continually pounds at our minds, or when the future seems so uncertain. These giants taunt us and try to paralyze us with fear. There's only one way to overcome these giants, and that is with courage. Courage. A simple word, a single word. Just as Joshua was to lead the Israelites into the promised land, the Lord tells Joshua, just before he's going to lead them in, he says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Be strong and very courageous. Courage is defined as being able to face and deal with danger or fear without flinching. For Joshua, that courage is a result of surrendering to God's plan, trusting in God's strength. That's where that courage is going to come from. God places giants along the journey of every believer. We will all face them, but not until we trust that God knows what he's doing. It's all in his plan. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. And that we walk in his strength, and he has the strength to defeat the giants. It's not until that time that we will have the courage to face the giants and have victory. So where does Joshua get all his courage from? Well, in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7, Moses had told Joshua and the Israelites that they were to be strong and courageous people. They were called to be courageous people. Now here in Joshua is commanded again. He's reminded, basically, of the command that happened in 31:7 and says, you're to be strong and courageous. You're to be courageous, Joshua. He's reminded about that. And as we're reminded about the commands of the Lord, they inspire us. For Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be men and women and children of courage, be strong. Paul is exhorting us to be the people of courage God has called us to be. Once we know we are called, it's so much easier to walk in it. If God says you're to be courageous, it gives us a little incentive to walk there. And along with this reminder, the Lord reminds Joshua that he would be with him. The Lord reminds Joshua that the Lord himself will walk with him. Listen to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wow. That's a great reminder. That'll instill courage, right? Knowing that the Lord is with you wherever you go. Oh, for sure. That instills courage. Moses understood this because he declared back in Exodus 33 that if the Lord didn't go with them, they didn't want to go. They weren't going anywhere if God wouldn't go with them. That's good advice. Lord, if you don't want to go with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to be on the loan, because that doesn't instill courage at all. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded that the Lord is with us and he never leaves us. We need to be reminded that the Lord is with us. Think about the times when Satan comes in and he places that doubt in your mind. Well, maybe not you folks, but I've had it happen to me. Satan comes and says, oh, do you really think God's with you right now? Do you really think God's with you? Remember I told you about the offering we took when we were in Kimberley, and God had told me that we were going to get $5,000. It was a small congregation just like this. And God said we were going to get $5,000. We'd advertised it for that we were taking this building offering, this special offering, to pay off a mortgage. And he told me, and the day that we were to take the offering, one of my board members came and said, so $5,000, eh, Scott? And the enemy was right there. Do you really think God is with you in this? And my faith just went, well, whatever God gives, he's faithful. God's will be done. And God gave us $8,000 that day, I think, something like that. See, when we are reminded that the Lord is with us, fear flees. We are filled with courage. The Lord had good reason to remind Joshua that he would be with him. Joshua needed to be filled with the courage. He was facing the giants. In the same way, we need to read over and over and again in our Bibles that God is with us and he will never leave us, because as we are firmly planted that in our minds, as we get that in our minds, then we realize as we face the giants, God is right there. He's right there with us at all times. The other thing which the Lord reminds Joshua about is that his promises are yes and amen. He said to Joshua that, you know, I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they would take possession of the land. And he tells Joshua that promise that I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still remains today, and that's the promise for you. That promise is for you today. God wants Joshua and his generation of Israelites to know that past promise, the past promises of God, remain for them. Joshua knew God had kept his promises. So as he was reminded, he knew God would fill him, keep his promises, and fill him with courage. God has kept his promises throughout history, folks. His promises, like in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, where Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed. That promise was written over 2,000 years ago when Jesus said it. And that promise is still for us, for this generation today. Jesus is still here to proclaim freedom, to set the blind to see, and release the oppressed. As we're reminded of God's commands to us, and as we are reminded that he will always be with us, and that his promises are still for us today, we are filled with courage. We can walk in courage and victory when facing giants, knowing that we are in his plans and we are walking in his strength. So what happens when we're not courageous? What happens when we allow the enemy to steal that courage away? when we don't believe God's commands, when we don't believe that His presence is with us, or when we don't believe that His promises are still for today. Well, think about it. We talked about the spies that went in and came back, the 12 spies that went in and came back with a bad report. They were filled with fear. They didn't instill courage anywhere. And what happened? Two spies, Joshua and Caleb, were the only ones that came back with a good report. The other 10 instilled fear in the nation. And they turned and ran. Or think about Saul when he was facing Goliath. Was Saul a man of courage? Actually, I don't even know if Saul went out those 40 days and looked at Goliath. I think Saul stood in his tent while his men went out and faced the Philistines on the other side of the mountain. He wasn't filled with courage, and his army was paralyzed with fear. Goliath presented a legitimate threat to the Israelites. He was a giant, 9 feet tall. But he didn't present any threat to God. David went there and heard the giant taunting the Israelites. The task seemed humanly impossible, but like Joshua, David knew the Lord his God was with him wherever he was. David knew that it didn't matter whether he was out in the shepherd's field or whether he was facing the giant or the lion or the bear. God was with him. David goes forward in courage as he's seen how God has worked throughout his life. In courage, he picks up some stones and heads toward the giant. And the giant, what do giants do? He intimidates him. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Well, that's not what Goliath said. He said, you come at me with sticks and stones. You're just a kid. What do you think you are? Who do you think you are? The giant tries to intimidate David. And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 46. After David's courage came a huge victory. He slung his stone, the giant fell, he took the giant's sword and cut off Goliath's head. The giant was done. But his courage inspired the rest of the Israelite army to move forward. Are people not inspired, or are they inspired to move forward when they see our courage? Are others moving? The courage of David brought a great deliverance to many that day. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear. For 40 days, the giant came out twice a day. Each time he comes out, we read that the Israelites fled back to their tents in fear. Yet David comes filled with courage and defeats the giant, and things change. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 52, Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. The dead were strewn along the Sharon road to Gath and Ekron. David's courage delivered the Israelites from the paralyzing fear they had been experienced. There was huge victory that day. We all need to know that giants are real in our lives. Don't let anybody tell you that your giant isn't real. He's real. And he's no match for us. He's bigger, stronger, meaner, and more powerful than we are. And that's a good thing. Because that reveals that we can't do it in our own strength. And when the giant is defeated, we can't take the glory. The glory is God's. He's the one that will defeat the giant. What giants are you facing today? We can defeat the giants as we have courage. Courage which comes from walking in God's plan for our lives and walking in His strength. Are you ready to face your giants? It can be intimidating, but remember, God commands us to be courageous. He tells us that He will be with us as we confront the giant. He promises that His promises will never fail. They're for us today. May the Lord's courage in us arise and the giants be defeated. The giants are big. They're intimidating. But they are no match for our God. He will give us a victory. We're going to talk about giants more over the next few weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the victories you bring, the giants you destroy. David didn't destroy Goliath. You did. You were right there with him. Your promises are yes and amen. Father, I don't know what giants my friends are facing, Lord, but I know the giants that I face. I know the giants that I had to face yesterday. And it was huge. And for a while I wondered if there was any chance of victory. Because the giant just seemed to come from every side. Yet thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you for destroying the giant that I couldn't as much as I tried. Lord, strengthen my friends. Strengthen each one of us. May we be people of courage. May we know that you are right there with us. That the battle is yours. The victory is yours. And that your promises are yes and amen. May we stand on them. Thank you, Father. We continue to pray for Andrea, for Myrna, Lord, for others in our midst that struggle with physical giants. We ask that you would destroy those giants in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.